Yeah, speak tonight to us. Lord, we open our hearts completely to you. Yeah, Lord, may you speak. Lord, also give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Yeah, we don't just want to hear something, we also need revelation. Lord, give us a clear view. Praise the Lord. The Lord is wonderful, and he has a wonderful work in Genesis chapter 1, and this work is for us. It's not written for scientists who simply want to analyze. It's not written for theologians, but it's written for us. That really spoke to me this morning. Genesis is for us. And we need to lay hold of the experience of Genesis. Just to understand isn't enough. We need the experience. Life has so much to do with experience. And the Lord wants to bring us into this experience. Praise the Lord. And I am encouraged that the Lord goes on. Here, the Lord has a work of creation, and he continues to create, and it has so much to do with us. It's no small matter. It really needs to impress us. I'm very much impressed because this word is so rich. And after the youth conference, I don't want to leave with a puffed up head. I know this means that, that means that. No, I want to lay hold of the experience of it. I want to have the life. Praise the Lord. And the Lord wants to give us this life. So we want to continue on to the fourth day. And the Lord also presses on. We saw so much separation, and the separation is so important. But the Lord doesn't stop with separation. He continues to separate even on the fourth day, because separation is so important. It is a foundation of our life. It's crucial for life. And I'm encouraged to separate and divide more in me, especially my heart. This discernment takes place within us. Yes, praise the Lord. And the Lord wants to make it very practical for us. What comes here now on the fourth day is very practical. It's very steadfast. The first day, God created light. Now, he's also creating light. But not just light, he's creating the lights, plural. Praise the Lord, God creates the lights. Lights in the sky, it's very clear. It's talking about the sun. It's very clear, it's the sun, it's not just light. In general, it's the sun. And he creates the moon, it's also very clear. And the sun and the stars, it's not just light, but it's the lights that are shining, the source. Praise the Lord. And the Lord wants to show us that these lights are for our experience. The sun is for our experience. The moon, we have to experience it. And also, the stars are for our experience. Praise the Lord. Let's read Matthew 4, 16 together. Matthew 4, 16. Amen. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.
Amen.
The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. The sun is this greater light. And the sun is Christ. When the Lord came upon earth, it was like the rising of the sun. Before that, it was like in darkness. But when the Lord came, the sun rose. The people who were sitting in darkness, they have seen a great light. Praise the Lord. When Christ came upon earth, He was the light of man. John also talks very clearly about it. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The Lord is the light of the world. And as long as He walked upon this earth, was on this earth, He was the sun. It was day. It was clear to see. He gave light. Praise the Lord. We need to treasure this, that the Lord is our sun. And it's really a bright light. Have you ever tried to stare into the sun? Better not try it. It's so bright. We need the light of the sun so that we can see. We need it for experience. We need Christ. And also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, we see a wonderful picture of Christ walking amidst the seven golden lampstands. Christ is walking amidst the churches. And it's talking here about the Lord in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. At the end, and His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Praise the Lord. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. We need such a light. Christ didn't just come so that we could be saved, that we could be born again, that He saves us from our sins. But Christ came for much, much more. Even though Paul was saved, he said in Philippians 3 that he wants to gain more of Christ. He wants to gain Christ. That's much more than just forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. The Lord did forgive us of our sins. He went on the cross for us. But today He wants us to gain Him much more. This is really fundamental. Paul says he counts all other things rubbish that he may gain Christ, the Son. Do we have such a focus, such an attitude? Oh Lord, we need more of such a desire to gain Christ in every situation. Often I pray my situation when I'm at the university, no matter where I am at, I want to gain Christ. I want to have more of this sun. Paul says in Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, he says that there is unsearchable riches of Christ in chapter 5, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Unsearchable. Oh Lord, we need to lay hold of Him. We need more this experience. He is so much more for us. Salvation doesn't just mean that one day I will be with the Lord in heaven forever. No, the Lord gave you His life. Today we have the life of Christ in us. And Paul says He is the hope of glory in us. He wants to transform us into His image. We look to Him and then we are transformed. We are transformed into the image of Christ. We need more of this. We need more of Christ's image. Christ wants to be made manifest in us. He should be visible in us. Praise the Lord for this sun that shines brightly. And He doesn't just show the sun here, He also shows the moon. Tonight, I have to say so clearly, maybe the moon is more important for us today because we are in the time of night. It's nighttime. In the first meeting, we heard that the world is in darkness. The entire world is in a state of darkness. And John says that the whole world is in the sway of the wicked one. It's night. It's nighttime, simply said. It's nighttime. And what do you see at night? Or what should you see at night? You see the moon. Praise the Lord. The moon shines in the night. Not the sun. We need to be aware of this. The moon shines. It's not the sun that shines in the night, but the moon. We all know. It needs to become clear to us. We need revelation from the Lord. Oh, Lord, yes. And the moon is a picture for the church. The moon is a picture for the church. And we see this from the very beginning of the Bible till the end. The entire Bible talks about Christ and the church. Have you ever noticed that when you read the Bible? Read Ephesians. So much is Paul talking in Ephesians about Christ and the church. Many Christians, Christ is so important, and Christ is important. But for Christ, the church is also very important. And the church needs to be just as important to us. We need to see that the church is important for Christ. He cherishes the church. It says even He loves the church. Do you love the church? Do you love the church? Amen. Yeah. Do you love Christ? Of course. All Christians will say they love Christ. Praise the Lord. We love Christ, but we also love the church. Yeah. We need to love the church more. We want to love Christ more, but we also need to love the church more. How often do you say, "I love the church"? Often we say, "I love the Lord." But how often do you say, "I love the church"? How much do we cherish the church? Let's read Ephesians 5:32 together. No, first, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Let's read it together. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Amen. Christ loves the church. And Christ gave Himself for the church. Christ gave Himself for the church. Are we aware of this? Yeah, he gave himself for all of us. But here it's written he gave himself for the church. We need to pray to the Lord that he would reveal to us how much he truly loves the church. Lord, reveal it to me. Show me how much you love. And this is God's plan, actually, from the beginning on, is to build his church. Everything that he creates here in Genesis chapter 1 is for this goal. For this purpose, he doesn't just want to bring forth life, but he wants to have Christ in the church. The life serves for this purpose. Only through life can it come forth. But the goal is Christ and the church. He's not just creating just any old thing, creates this and then creates that. No, God has a plan. He is a God. He has a purpose. Yes, God has a purpose, and that is Christ and the church. It's not just Christ. I want to emphasize this. A lot of people just talk about Christ, and that's good. It's spiritual. But in God's heart, he also has the church. In Matthew 16, the Lord asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says very clearly, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16, verse 16. But that's not the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ continues on. The Lord continues on. He wants to show that there is more. He says, "I will build my church." He says this to Peter in verse 18. I will build my church. Praise the Lord. The Lord will build his church. And we see this picture so clearly on the fourth day. The sun is there and the moon. God didn't just create the sun, he also created the moon. And today we are in a time of night, and today we need the moon. The sun reigns over the day. But the moon reigns over the night. The moon reigns over the night. We have the same task, the same job that Christ had in the daytime. He says in John that when he leaves, he won't be, the world won't see him anymore. But he tells his disciples, "You will see me." The only people who can still see the Lord are we believers. The moon reflects the light of the sun. The moon doesn't have any light of its own, but the moon gets its light from the sun. You know, the moon doesn't have any light. It's not a source of light. I mean, we know it. But the light of the moon comes from the sun. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, "And all of us who with an unveiled face see, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord." Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We behold the glory of the Lord. The moon beholds the glory of the Lord and reflects it as in a mirror. The light is visible. Yes, everyone can see him. It's manifest. The Lord wants that the church expresses him. Yeah. The church should express Christ. The Lord is not here visibly to be seen by the world, But the church is visible. The church must be visible. Yes, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. Yeah, we need the church, really. Are we aware of this? We need the church. And it's so wonderful to see there's only one moon. There's one moon. There's only one church. For many Christians, this isn't clear at all. There are so many groups, so many denominations, so many churches. Yeah, everyone has their own doctrine. Everyone has their own concepts, their preferences. I prefer to go to church A, but I, or Johnny, he likes church B better. Everyone has their own preferences. I want to go there, and you want to go here. I like this doctrine, and you like the other doctrine. But there's only one moon. There's only one moon.
Yeah, Johannes.
Yeah. Johnny, you're from Stuttgart, right? So Johannes is from Stuttgart. When you look at the moon, does someone ask you, what moon are you looking at? Has someone ever asked you, what moon are you looking at? So often I'm asked, in what church do you go to? There's only one moon. There's only one church. That has to be so clear to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from Nürnberg. When I look at the moon, no one asks me which moon. There's only one moon. That has to be clear to us. God only created one moon. Yeah. Or Christian, when you do something with your wife, does someone ask you? With which wife? No. Christ only has one wife. Christ only has one wife. He only has one bride. You know, in Genesis 37, Joseph had a dream. He sees a sun, a moon, and 11 stars. And the sun is Jacob. And the moon is the mother of Joseph. Yeah, Christ has a bride. We see it very clear in Revelation. Christ has a wife, only one. I hope we all have this awareness that Christ only has one church. How many churches are in your city? Only one, praise the Lord. When Johannes is in Stuttgart, he only sees one church, one moon. Praise the Lord. He can also only see one, because there is only one. You know, the sun, we know very clearly. There's one Christ. But the moon, we're not so clear anymore. How come? Because it's a mystery.
Yeah,
Paul says in Ephesians 5, we can read this verse, in Ephesians 5:32, Let's read this verse now. Ephesians 5:32. Let's read it together. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. What is Paul talking about? Christ and the church. He's talking about the sun and the moon. Praise the Lord for sun and the moon. Praise the Lord for Christ and the church.
Yeah.
This day is so important. This fourth day. Later on, we see he doesn't just create Adam, but he creates Adam and Eve. This is God's picture for us. Adam and Eve. And I think it's so wonderful that already on the fourth day he shows that this is what it's all about. On the fourth day he already shows us he wants to have Christ and the church. It's not a work of man. No man is able to do that. It's a heavenly work. No man is able to organize that. It's not man's work. There are so many works of different men. There's a group. They follow this man. There are even groups named after certain people, certain men. But the church is the work of God. It's a heavenly work. It's not organized by man. He is the head of the church. No man is the head of the church. And he wants that this church would be expressed. This church should shine brightly. The moon has different conditions, different states. Phases. We know there's full moon, there's half moon, and when there's a full moon, then the moon shines the brightest, praise the Lord. We need a lot of full moon to be in the state of a full moon. If we're just a half moon, in the state of a half moon, then half the light is missing, a lot of light is missing. The world is in between, the earth. And that shouldn't be. The moon needs to be completely visible. The entire glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord needs to be visible. The light of the Lord needs to be seen in its fullness, not just half. Not just the half. We shouldn't be satisfied with half of the light, with half of the moon. The Lord wants to have a full moon, especially in this time. You know, today it's especially dark. It's not just dark, it's especially dark. It's deep dark. It's pitch black. And how much more do we need a strong moon? The Lord has to save us from an eclipse. He has to protect all the churches from such an eclipse. He needs a bright light on every place, every locality. In every place, every city, we see the moon. Johannes sees the moon in Stuttgart. The moon in Stuttgart. And Philip
in Freiburg.
And it has to be visible in every city. God doesn't want an invisible moon. And the moon is the Lord is only expressed through this one moon, through the unity and the oneness of the saints. You know, the problem is there is so much division, so much lack of unity among the Christians today. Everyone goes to their own church, to their group. Everyone does what's right in his own eyes. That's what it's written in Judges. The people did what was right in their own eyes. We should not act as they did back then, because that did not please God. That was a dark time. Then the moon was not able to shine brightly at all. The people of God has to be one. And here, it's not about an invisible unity. Many people want to make the church invisible. Yeah, we're one in our spirit. It's invisible, yeah, we're one, you know. But still, we get in arguments about doctrine and whatever. Light is not invisible. The light of the moon is not invisible. It is very much visible. Yeah. We need a visible unity, a visible oneness. John once says, even if you don't love your brother, you are in the darkness. You are not in the light. And Jesus himself prays in John 17 for this oneness. We can read these verses. John 17. 21-23. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Amen. Mm-hmm. That the world may know. Here, it's about a visible oneness. And it's actually so obvious. What's the use of an invisible oneness? We need more. The visible oneness, Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in flesh. God wants to be made manifest. He wants to be expressed. God wants the oneness. We need this awareness. And God loves it when His people is one. God loves it. Yeah, I think we need revelation for this. Even Paul prayed when he talked a lot about the church in Ephesians. He prayed at the beginning, Lord, give a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ask the Lord for revelation. We need a vision of Christ and the church.
Yeah.
Christ gave himself for the church. And also we should give ourselves for the church. We like to give ourselves and consecrate ourselves to Christ, but it's about Christ and the church. Yeah. So that in every locality this church would be expressed. God wants such a visible moon in every locality. And in Revelation 2 and 3, where we saw how Christ, with such a wonderful shining countenance, shining with the sun and as the sun in its might, we also see the moon. We see seven churches. Seven churches. Oh, so it's not just one church. Seven churches. But in every locality, one. There's a church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, and so on. In every locality, one church. Every city has one lampstand. How many lampstands did John see in this vision in Ephesus? He only saw one lampstand. One. This has to be so clear to us. How many lampstands are in your locality? One. One. Yeah, we have to consecrate ourselves, give ourselves for this lampstand that it can shine brighter, that more of his people would see this vision. Because John says very clearly, if you don't love your brother, you're in darkness. The lampstand gives light. The lampstand shines, and not some group. Maybe in group A, they talk a lot about Christ. And in group B, also the same. But it's about the lampstand and not about the group. It's about the church that the Lord has chosen, for whom the Lord gave himself for this oneness. We need to give ourselves for this oneness in our localities. And here it's not about some doctrine. This isn't a doctrine or a teaching. The church isn't a teaching. But it's our experience. It's our life. It's a completely different realm. I think it's so wonderful. The fourth day doesn't take place on the earth, but it's something heavenly. Yeah, the church is something from God. And it can't just remain a teaching, a doctrine of the church. No, that has to become our experience. Like everything else in Genesis chapter 1, also this must become our experience. And when it has become our experience, then the lampstand can shine brightly in our locality. What's the church for us? What's the church to us? What is the church? I go to a meeting on Monday, on Sunday. I sing a few songs. I pray, give testimony, and then I go home. Is that the church? No. Rather, the church must be our life. The church must be our entire everyday experience. Every day. We don't always need to be present in our flesh, but we need to be present in our spirit all the time. We express Christ. We are one with the brothers and sisters for this one testimony. One testimony. Then the world can believe. You know, often the world doesn't believe because the Christians are so divided among themselves. But if the Christians are one, if the testimony in your locality shines, then the people will see. And they will fall on their knees, as it's written in Corinthians, and they will confess, here, God is here, Christ is here. And it's really like this. If you want to see Christ, then you have to go to the lampstand. Where is Christ walking today? In Revelation 12:2-3, where is he walking? He walks amidst among the seven lampstands. He walks among the churches. We need to see this. Christ is so rich. The Son is so rich in the church. On the moon. Yeah, we need the light of the moon because that is the light of the Lord. It's no other light, no other source. Only the moon can see the sun. And when you reflect this light of the sun, this glory, and the Lord only walks among the seven lampstands, the seven churches. We need to have a lot of fellowship about this with the Lord. We need to ask Him because He loves the church. Yeah, we need to ask Him. It's His bride.
Mm-hmm.
It's His house. Paul says the church is the house of the living God. And it is the foundation and pillar of the truth. It's the base and pillar of truth. That is the moon. It is the base and pillar of truth. That is the church. Yes, we need this revelation. We need this revelation even more. Often I pray to the Lord, Lord, show me this vision even more, even clearer. Because there are so many concepts. I have so many concepts concerning the church. The church has to be like this, the church has to be like that. Everyone has their own opinion. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has their concept. Everyone has their good teaching doctrine. There's so many teachings. But we need to come to Him who loves the church and who knows the church. And we need to build according to this example and not any different. Not any different at all. This example, this pattern needs to be so clear to us, so well known to us, better known to us than our own opinion, because our own opinion destroys the church so often. It damages the church. That's why, come to the Lord. Yeah, come to the Lord and ask Him. Ask Him what is His heart's desire, what is His eternal purpose. He says in Ephesians, that is His eternal purpose. Eternal. He already had it before He started to restore the earth, before He started to create His restoration work. He knew He wanted to have this church. He knew He wanted to have this expression in every locality. Yes. The Lord has to reveal this mystery to us even more. Let's read Matthew 16. It's so wonderful to see the Lord says He will build His church. Maybe there are so many Christians. Maybe they don't want to build His church. They want to build their own group, their own work. But the Lord, He wants, and He will build His church. That is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. And it's so good to give ourselves for that purpose, because then we are on the right side. Give yourself for Christ and the church. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 18. Let's read it together. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. No one has a chance to hold it back. Not even the gates of Hades. Praise the Lord. The Lord will perfect this work. And it is so good to work together, to cooperate with the Lord now. Yeah. We want to enjoy the light of the moon now. Many just want Christ. They should take Christ, because He will come one day. One day the sun will rise, but now the moon is shining. Let us be in the light of the moon. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The stars. I don't want to say too much more about the stars. The stars are the believers. Heavenly, spiritual, and full of life. But I do want to mention one thing concerning the stars. The largest light is the sun. Then comes the moon. It's a smaller light, a lesser light. And then the stars come. When the moon shines, when it's full moon and it shines, you don't see too many stars. That also shows us, for the Lord, it's about the church. It's not about your personal matters. Many people say, I shine personally quite well. Yeah. But the Lord doesn't want one star. One star isn't sufficient to give the earth light, not even two stars. For that, we need the moon. That has to be clear to us. We should shine as stars. Yes, we should shine as stars. But with the moon. And in oneness with the moon. It's so good to shine as a star. To be full of light. And here, it's not anymore about the division between light and darkness. Here we see the light reigns. And the stars are there to show the people the way. They show the way. Where? Which way do they show? To the moon. To the church. To the larger light. So that they can see even more. If we don't lead them to the church, then we are keeping the light back from them. Let us shine as stars and lead many to the moon. Praise the Lord for sun, moon, and for all the stars. Praise the Lord. Let us continue to have fellowship.